kind of wild that we were wrapping up our series today with the last chapter in all of the Psalms. And it's a really beautiful one. It's a doxology. It's a praise to God. And as I was thinking about our series, we're going to do a little bit more of a summarization later. I was hoping just today to hear from you really quickly, maybe one or two or three, four people, just about what are some of the things you've taken away this summer from listening to the Psalms and being engaged with the Psalms and reading the Psalms throughout the week. What's something that has struck you this week or this summer? Yeah. Let's go back here.
The Psalms start with a sigh and end with a song.
Okay, start with a sigh and end with a song. I like that. Very good. Who else has something? Here's something you don't know about me, but I'm really comfortable with silence. So I'll just sit here for a while. Who else has something?
That they struggle with some of the same doubts that I do.
Oh, yeah. The people writing the Psalms struggle with some of the same things we struggle with. They're very relevant to today. Yeah. Let's go with one more. Yeah. I'm back here to Shane.
So first of all, I remember your sermon when you talked about going to Italy, because my son just came back from there from 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So I was telling him your story about the cats.
Okay, the cats in Italy. Okay.
But one of the things that really surprised me, so I went through 9 years of St. Paul, 4 years of Luther North, and 2 years of Concordia.
Uh-huh.
And I never had the Psalms written as a forecast to the New Testament.
Okay.
So when you put them together, every sermon was new to me. After all those years of everything I did. So I thought that was fascinating.
They point to Jesus. That's probably the main point of the whole thing, that they point to Jesus. Last week when in our Psalm, Psalm 130, we had this refrain that is so important, and it kind of summarizes why we're celebrating today. And it's just this phrase that we get to hear all the time. In fact, I read this yesterday with a dear brother in Christ. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand, right? If God kept a record of all the things we've done wrong, of all the sins we've committed, none of us would stand a chance. But he's so merciful, but with you there's forgiveness, we say to God. With you there's forgiveness, therefore you're feared. We stand in awe of you, O God. And that's really kind of the key to what we're celebrating with all of the Psalms. I wanted to do something a little different, not just because we've talked about some of the Hebrew words and stuff, I just wanted you to see what a whole psalm looks like in Hebrew, because this is really interesting that there's all this repetition you'll see in today's psalm. Even if you don't know what the word is, you see it. This one word is repeated over and over and over today. By the way, anybody here left-handed? You should learn Hebrew, because you write from right to left. You'll never smudge the ink. It's a perfect language for you. But the word that gets repeated is this word, hallelujah. And we had the kids shouting it earlier. I love that. But hallelujah is actually a combination of three different words. First part of it is hallel, which is just give praise. Give praise to, just give praise. You're thankful for something. You're giving praise. It's halal. And then the next one is this you sound, which means together. So you're giving praise, but it's not just you alone. You're giving praise together with everybody. And then the Yah part, the hallelujah part, the last part is to God, to Yahweh. That's short for Yahweh. So when we're saying hallelujah, we're saying together, we're acknowledging, we're giving praise, we're giving thanks to God. And there's so many reasons that we do that. But the one of the great ways to summarize our whole summer sermon series, and when we put this together in the spring, Pastor Ethan and I realize that the way to summarize every single psalm that we talked about is with the song of Mary. Mary finds out she's miraculously pregnant with the Christ child, with the promised Messiah, this Messiah that has been promised for thousands of years. God comes through the angel Gabriel and says, you are carrying this Messiah. It's really awesome that God also provides for her another person that she can talk to. I often think of Adam and Eve in the garden, and Eve being pregnant for the first pregnancy ever. she's pregnant in the Bible, and she has no one to talk to about what's happening or what she's going through. I mean, she can talk to Adam, but he doesn't know what's going on either, you know? So when Mary finds out that she's miraculously pregnant, God provides for her an older relative who's also miraculously pregnant. She's old and barren, so he can go and talk. She can go and talk with her, and she ends up, as she's a little bit of the ways into her pregnancy, she goes and talks with Elizabeth. And when she sees Elizabeth, the first thing Elizabeth says, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come and talk with me?" And then there's this beautiful song that Mary sings. But really, when you look at the song that she sings, it is all based upon the Psalms, and basically all based upon the Psalms that we covered. She starts off by saying, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My very being, everything about me is focused on God and what he's doing right now." And of course, the psalmist said that so many centuries before, "Glad in the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. My spirit rejoices," she says, "in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant." You know, it's a beautiful thing that when the Christ comes into this world, he comes into this world and puts on flesh, comes into this world, born to Mary, that he's born in such a humble fashion. It was Martin Luther, a number of years ago, wrote a sermon, many, many years ago, of course, Martin Luther, he wrote a sermon and just said, you know, if Jesus had been born in a palace, it would still be an amazing account, it'd be an amazing true story, but if I walk by a palace, I don't necessarily feel like I'm invited in. There's moats and there's walls. But the fact that Christ was born in a manger to this maiden and her carpenter husband, that makes me feel like I could be part of that, that maybe this Christ child was born for someone like me. And that's exactly what was foreshadowed so many years before. "My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad." Because God comes for those who are humble. God comes for all those, not just the high and mighty, but for the humble. She goes on to say, from now on, generations will call me blessed. And it's true. We call Mary blessed from generation to generation. "I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations." This is the promise made to King David that one of his descendants will be the one who reigns forever. And of course, this is that Christ child. "And he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name." And those two things are really interesting when you put those together. His name is holy and mighty. "He is so far above me, yet he has, in his humility, has done great things for me and for you." In fact, in his humility, he sends Jesus to die for our sins. And of course, what do the Psalms say? "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name." I love that. You are called the ones who are righteous, not because you've earned it, but because Christ has given you the title of the righteous ones. "And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." One of the things I said earlier this summer in our series is that about 22% of the Psalms are really focused on the passing on of the faith to the next generation. It plays heavy, not just into David's mind, but in all the psalmists, all of their minds are so concerned with making sure our faith gets passed on, that the Holy Spirit uses us as his vessels to pass on the good news of what Christ has done for us. And truly, that is the heart of our ministry here at St. Andrew's. We're gonna dedicate our teachers in just a moment after the sermon for the beginning of the school year. Do you realize that this is the 115th school year that St. Andrew's has had? 115 years. Just so the kids know, I wasn't here at the start of it. But what a blessing that we've done this and that we get, God allows us to pass this faith on through our school, through our Sunday school ministry, just through church, and you bringing your kids to church and being an active part of the life of this community is such a powerful thing. We thank you for that. But again, the Psalms talk about that, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. There's not a generation that goes by that hasn't found its dwelling place in God. And I love that. And this is the part 2. He shows his strength with his arm. He scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. The loftiest of people can't compete with God. He has so much strength that he shows, I love the Hebrew, the physical nature of him. He shows it with his arm. He shows his strength. And I love this. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil. I have anointed him so that my hand shall be established with him, and my arm also will strengthen him. God strengthens us with his might, with his grace, with his mercy. And he has brought down the mighty from their thrones. He's exalted those of humble estate. So it really is true. There's no power in the universe that competes with our God. Yet, for the lowliest of us, the sinners, those who struggle, all of us, he has come and made us part of his family. And of course, I read that in the Psalms. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion the mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. He has defeated the ultimate enemy of sin, death, and hell on our behalf and given us new life. I love this. He's filled the hungry with good things and the rich he sent empty away. And God hears us when we're in the hungry, when we're needy, when we're at our worst. God hears us. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I'm poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. That God allows us in our most vulnerable moments to call out to the creator of the universe who spoke the world into being and say, you're my God, and I belong to you. And of course, he's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. We're called the body of Christ. We're called part of Israel. And I love that. Oh, Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. He will redeem Israel from all their iniquities. What hope is that? We're part of God's family, and that means that his steadfast love, remember the summer we talked about that word chesed, it's the love that doesn't even make sense because it's so persistent, it never gives up, it always pursues, it will chase us down when we try to run from it. The love of God never gives up on us, and because that he loves us like that, there's redemption enough for us, more than enough for us, and he redeems us from our sins. We don't save ourselves. He saves us. And to think that Mary is praising God for this while she's carrying Christ in her womb is a remarkable thing. And then as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever, we go to Psalm 89 again. Once and for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His offspring shall endure forever, his throne as long as the sun before me. And truly, that's the point of our series this summer. We have a God who is our king. He is our ruler. He is our Lord. Most importantly, he is our Savior. And he loves us that much. That's what we spent the summer exploring. Here's what I want to do as we think about this word hallelujah, what we praise God for. I want to give you just a couple of minutes, maybe a little less than that, just some time. There's some notepads. You can write a note to yourself. You can talk with your neighbor. Think for a minute about what it is when you hear that word hallelujah, praise God together. What is it that comes to mind? What are you praising God for today? Take a minute to reflect on that. Pray about that.